Good morning. Greetings in the name of Jesus, and we're certainly privileged. And I thought of the scripture earlier in the psalm where it says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And even on a dreary morning, I believe we should, that really shouldn't affect our disposition. And it has a tendency. I agree with that. We're together to worship this morning. We have a special guest with us, Bishop Henry Malundi. In fact, he said in Holmes County he goes by Henry Miller. So we're glad to have him here. And we would like for you, Henry, and we would like for Weldon. You know, Weldon knows him. To come up, and then Weldon will say a few words of introduction, and we'll have prayer, and then Henry will share with us. Henry comes from the African Christian Mission International. He's going to share a message with us this morning and also share a bit about what they do in that ministry. So we're looking forward to what he has to share with us. Weldon was there earlier this year, and I think it's kind of through him that we have Henry here this morning. So if you would just share a bit, maybe, Weldon, and then we'll have prayer for you.
Good morning, everyone. I'll just share a little bit of some of the highlights or what we saw. Nathan and I had the opportunity to go to Kenya first part of the year with Dennis Mullett from Gospel Haven. And I guess I just want to confirm that being in Kenya, a lot different culture, but they love the Lord. And it is very evident when you go there, they worship a little different than we do. Is that saying it mildly? they truly love the Lord. And I guess what has impressed me with the mission, when I was there and just talking to Henry the last couple days, is the vision. And I'm just impressed, and I was just challenged what God can do if we're willing. And I think that's the big thing, is we don't need to go to Kenya. You don't need to go in a faraway place. So he's doing it at home. And what he's doing at home, what are we doing at home? And I guess that's been my biggest challenge. What can God do if a man is willing?
Amen. Before we pray, I would like to say that for those of you, I put it on the GroupMe. I don't know if you saw it or not, but we'd like to lift a special offering this morning, a second offering, what we would call, and we'll probably do that after the testimony time. So, and then we'll take our regular Sunday school offering as well. So, brother Weldon, you want to say a prayer for him?
Sure.
And I will too as well.
Again, we just want to thank you for the privilege of having Henry here sharing with us what you have for us. We just want to ask that you might just be with him, give him words that we are in need of. Also, just be with his churches back in Kenya. Just be with them as they are worshiping today. They might all be over, but just be with them. Just be with the children's homes, with all the different activities that they have going. Would you just bless the work and just be with them as they travel the next couple weeks and give programs? Just keep them safe. We just want to ask this all in your name.
Father in heaven, we thank you for our brother, for his vision for the kingdom, for the work that he's doing in Kenya, in Africa. We pray that you would continue to give direction and leading in his life. He has given himself to you, his serving you faithfully. This morning he's here to share with us. We ask that the Holy Spirit, even now, would come upon him and he would be able to share with us a message from the Word and whatever he needs and wants to share from the mission, that it would also bless us this morning as we're together to worship you. Our goal this morning, our desire, is to glorify the Father and to exalt the name of Jesus. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you, brother.
Thank you.
Good morning. Well, my name is Henry Malundi, as you've been told, or Henry Miller from Holmes County when I'm in America. But I'm from Kenya, and Kenya is in Africa. That's where I originate from. And just a, you know, just a little bit about myself. I was trained by the Mennonites when I came to Plain City, Ohio, at a little Bible college. Some of you may have gone there, at Rosedale Bible College. I was there in 1980 and 81. And while I was there, the Lord spoke to me very clearly. There was opportunities for me to study in America, do my bachelor's degree, and go and do my PhD, whatever. But the Lord laid a serious burden in my heart to go back to Kenya and to start a church. And it was a struggle for about 3 to 4 months struggling about it. The doors were really open for me to study. I was supposed to go to Messiah University in Pennsylvania. And the Lord just shut the door finally and told me to head back home. And obedience was not easy, let me tell you. I struggled with that. But when I said yes, went back to my country, I took my wife and children from a little town called Machakos, and I headed to Central Province, another town called Thika, where the Lord had indicated that I need to station the work. And so I went there. It's a long story. You can read my book. If you have a chance for a donation, there's a book at the back there, Henry Mulandi. I struggled in many, many ways, and the Lord was with me. The Lord stood with me, and from one church today, I can testify of 440 churches in Kenya alone. The same one church grew to 2 to 3 to 5. By the time I was ordained as a bishop, we had 56 churches, and we kept on growing until this January, we were 440 churches. We have many other ministries that are taking place, and we will share a little bit on a video right now. But what I just want to say that God can use, if he could use Henry, I believe he can use you. I want to commend you this morning for the singing. I mean, you have a wonderful choir. It's all choir, four part. I tried to sing because I can't remember the Dio, Do Re Mi. I couldn't remember much of it, and I had a problem with that. And I thought, man, this is a wonderful choir. The man here must have taken a lot of effort, you know, to train all of you in the four parts. Because I could hear the bass real well and the altos and the tenors. Man, I said, this is different. But real good as you go before the Lord with those, you know, what you're going to see on the video here, I warn you, don't try that at home, okay? I'll mention a little bit later on that there's a girl here, Hannah Miller. She's seated at the back there, who came over to Africa, Kenya, to work with us at 19 years of age that time, and now grown with the work. She's in charge of our children department with the sponsorship and visiting the orphans and taking care of them. There'll be some you can sponsor at the end of the program or after the service. So at this time, for a couple of minutes, sit there. Be kind of noisy. And again, I say, please don't try this at home because this is all Africa. It's different over there, but don't get scared. Please, let's have it. Thank you. I'm sure you've seen some things that you don't want to try here. In case I do any mistakes or any failures, you can put it in the account of Weldon. He's my contact person here. I know my pronunciations, just for example, the way we pronounce things is not the way you do. Very, very different. There was a man in Africa called Idi Amin, those of you who read history. And Idi Amin went to England. He was not very educated. He went to England and he dined with the Queen. And after the meal, he said, "Well, thank you very much, Mr. Queen. I am fed up with your food." Instead of saying, I'm full, said, "I'm fed up with your food." That's just direct translation. And he said, "Well, Mr. Queen, when you come to Uganda, we shall revenge." Meaning that when you come to Uganda, we will return the favor, you know. So in case I do those kind of mistakes here, it's humorous, you know. Praise the Lord. In 20 minutes, I just want to share very briefly from the book of the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. Anna will be at the back if you need to sponsor a child. There is information there. There's also a newsletter. Please take a newsletter at the back. That will give you more exposure and the address where, in case you need to support the ministry, you can support. There's an address you can send your financial gift. There will be a tax receipt sent to you from Ohio. We have fundraising for a big tent, and we are believing God for $90,000. This far, we are almost a quarter way. And so by the time we finish our journey, Paul and Irene, my son, are in another church, and we are here for that purpose. John chapter 4, and we'll read just a couple of verses there. John chapter 4, most times as I minister, I'm the senior pastor of the mother church of the big denomination in Tika. And been there for 38 years preaching. And this year, as a general overseer, I've given the task for every church, 440 churches, that this year in 2018 up to 2022, 5 years, that every congregation, the 440, they must plant a sister congregation. Okay, they have to plant a sister congregation in order to show the reason of their existence. Why are they there as a church? That's one of the things. Like if I was a bishop here, I would say, this congregation in the next 5 years, you're planting one church. I hear already this Sunday you're doing that. So you're okay. You're right. You're planting a sister church up in Elkhart, is it Indiana, somewhere there. That's all right. After 5 years, what are you going to do? Or maybe you can do it after 3 years, plan another place. Multiply. That is the reason why we are here. We're here definitely to worship God. We're here to glorify God. But I believe God is also glorified when we leave here and we go and serve Him. We go and multiply. We go and share what we have been committed. What we have been given, we go out and share with the world. Now, here, this story, little story here, Jesus Christ has been with his disciples. They have just begun. And in verse 27, John chapter 4, verse 27, and they had gone to buy food. They had gone to bring food. And Jesus remained at the well, discussing, spiritual things with a woman of Samaria. And verse 27, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he was talking with a woman. Yet no man said, "What seest thou?" or "What talkest thou with her?" The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the man, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not he the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, "Master, eat." But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you do not know of. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. I'm sure that's some good reading this morning. The disciples come back to Jesus. They had been going without food for a while. And they bought food and they come and they tell Jesus, eat. And Jesus said, I have meat you don't know about. I have meat that you do not know about. And what this morning, my message, you can title it, Fast Things First. Or prioritize. Put your ducks in order. Put your priorities, 1, 2, 3, in the proper order. Jesus said, I have meat to eat. See, they brought food to Jesus to eat, and he's saying, I have another meat. I have some other food that you do not know anything about. And Jesus is not saying, I'm not going to eat what you brought. When I came to America those days, not now, I used to like the Burger King, going in and eating a double whopper. I really liked double whopper until I realized it wasn't good for me, and then I stopped eating that. Not that way. Jesus says, I believe Jesus is not saying do not eat the physical food. America here, you have a lot of food, by the way. Let me commend you. You have lots and lots and lots of food. I get depressed when I come here when I see the amount of food you waste. I get depressed. The first week, I really struggle because of where I've come from, seeing the need, see the people need just some little, piece of bread or something to last them the day, and I see how much. And especially going in your buffet, where all you can eat. Oh, my word. I'll never forget when we came to the U.S. with my African students, and then we found the Kentucky Fried Chicken. We love chicken in Africa. If you come to my house and I cook a chicken for you, that's really friendship. I really value you. And it is not always. So a chicken is very valuable over there. So we came over here, and we went to a Kentucky Fried Chicken in Columbus, and it was written, all you can eat. My. And you pay one price as you enter. I never seen anything like that. In Africa, don't try that. You pay one price, and you go in there. And so one friend was called Chacha. It was a student at Rosedale from Africa with us. And he just began to saliva. He began to pour, all you can eat, I can't imagine. So anyway, we paid and we went inside. He said, you know what, guys? Once I fill my stomach, because if you leave, coming back again, you have to pay again. I'm not leaving. I'm going to sit here until I'm hungry again to eat. Well, we tried to convince him to go, to leave. But there's a lot of food in America. Now, Jesus said, I have food to eat. I have food to eat that you do not know about. And that's what I have been trying to do. Jesus, one-on-one with a Samaritan woman, shared the gospel about the kingdom of God, and there was conversion. And the woman goes to the village and beckons everybody, I have found a man. I have found a man. I believe the Church of Jesus Christ, in this place, we come to worship, but we're also supposed to go out and share with the rest of the world what we have gotten here. But sometimes we keep it to ourselves. We keep it to ourselves, and it is not good. It is not good. Jesus said, open your eyes and see. The fields are white and ready for harvest. Right here in the United States, there's so many people who need Christ. But sometimes we are too shy. The American Mennonite today has a problem in verbalizing Jesus Christ and making Christ known. It is too slow if you're doing it. You better hear this from somebody from outside, all right? And I know you wouldn't like that, but let me tell you the truth. If you remember, in the Mennonite, in the Anabaptist history, there is something that was called a tongue screw. A tongue screw that was tiled those first believers. The way they verbalized Christ, the way they shared Christ, the way they evangelized, the only way the state would stop these people is to pull their tongue and put a tongue screw. And I don't know whether you know, I've seen it, a tongue screw. Two metals with a screw would pull the tongue, put it in the middle, and screw it so that the tongue cannot go back and forth to verbalize and share about Jesus Christ. Today, you see, many of you don't know what a tongue screw is. You don't know what a tongue screw is. But there are many, many Christians who have a tongue screw. Who have a tongue screw that they cannot share about Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, saying, the fields are white and ready for harvest. The fields are white and ready for harvest. For us as a church, there's so much evil that is encroaching on cultures and countries and lands. This week, Americans have been struggling with the issues in Washington about the Republicans. I know you're not politicians. You don't talk about politics here, right? But you've been hearing on your radios about this Supreme Court judge. And then last night, I don't know, some of you celebrated and some of you didn't celebrate. You're on either side, you're left or you're right. I just want to be in the middle with Jesus Christ. I want to proclaim Christ and Him crucified to the rest of the world, of the politicians, what have you. I advise some politicians, governors. I sit in their offices and I pray with them and I ask them to receive Jesus. Just the other day, I talked with my vice president. He had come to town and I was invited because, you know, they called me like a father of the city and they said, you have to come and invite the politician. And the governors were there, and the politicians were there. And I told them where they're doing going wrong, and I told them to shape up and receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I don't hide it. I tell them, and I ask them if I can pray with them to receive Jesus Christ. And you have so many contacts around you. You have so many business contacts, you know, family contacts, people who don't know Jesus Christ. Jesus said, the fields are white and ready for harvest. We need to pray for harvesters. For us, excuse me. For us in Kenya, we've realized the students in high schools, 3 to 4 million students are in high schools. And it's a captive audience. For 3 months, they are in a boarding school. Our high schools are boarding. And they go there for 3 months. So we are given permission from Friday to Sunday to come in and share the gospel with these students. And that's what we are doing. And we are doing into as many schools as we can every weekend, but it can only do so much. 10,000 plus high schools there are very many in the country, but we are doing what we can. And so we are asking people to come over and help us, come over and walk with us. We are looking for partnerships with churches, like-minded. People can support projects, different things that we are doing out there. The fields are white and ready for harvest. Excuse me. Jesus is calling for harvesters. Jesus is calling for harvesters. When I came to America here the first time, and I went to stay in Holmes County over the town break with a farmer, I saw the way the farmers do, and here you guys know what I'm talking about. When it is time to harvest, and 40-some hours, they announce it's going to be raining, and your barley, your wheat, your crop is dry and needs to be harvested. And the farmer I was staying with, he said, Henry, can you help? I said, yep. And so we would go out early in the morning, get the machinery ready, and somewhere 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, as it begins to warm up, we hit the ground running. And we'll be there on until the lady of the house will bring us, you know, some sandwiches while sitting on the tractor at midday. And we would be eating as we drive. He drove a combine harvester. I was coming behind with the wagons to fill up the grain and take and put it in the bin there. And we'll do that. And then 5 o'clock, jump, come out. And it was like I was hanging, you know, sitting that long. I was not used to anything like that. It's like I was hanging like this, you know, my legs. And, you know, come out and I'm trying to walk, you know, exercise a little bit. And my legs, you know, stretch. We go in the house and take a quick, supper. And then by 7 o'clock, you know, this, I've never seen anything like this. 7 o'clock, the sun is still up here. You know, in Africa, it's 12 hours, 12 hours. You saw that well done. 12 hours, 12 hours. Never seen the sun at 7 o'clock, at night. Here, 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock, the sun is still up there and say, which world is this one? This is a different world. And then we go back again, sit on the same machines, and we keep going. At 10 o'clock, we turn the lights on. And we keep going. And we keep going. I said, I now understand what is harvest. I had never done anything like that. I now understand when the Bible says the fields are white and ready for harvest. I saw it with you guys. You're so serious with your businesses. You're so serious with your farming. You're so serious when it comes to planting and harvesting. I'm calling us again. Let's sow some seriousness in harvesting the souls for the kingdom of God. Are you going to give me an amen? Yeah. Let's sow some seriousness. If you are ashamed of God, if you are ashamed of Jesus on this earth, he will also be ashamed of you when he comes to before the Father in heaven. And we need to verbalize Christ. We need to say, don't be ashamed of Christ. Don't think of what they're going to say. That's their business. I tell people, if you don't want to be criticized, say nothing, be nothing, and do nothing. Did you catch that? Do nothing, say nothing, be nothing. People are not going to say anything about you because you are nothing. All right? But as far as you're somebody, people are going to say, oh, your color looks pink. Oh, your color looks green. Oh, you're like me, I'm chocolate. They'll talk about my chocolate. That's why I don't like chocolate. I've got too much on my skin. You have something to talk about, Henry. Today and the rest of this week, did you see how that guy preached to us? We're not used to that kind of preaching. Yeah, I am something. I am something. I want to share with the world message of the gospel, the kingdom. But here are harvesters. Here are harvesters, wonderful choir, if you can get on fire for Jesus Christ. So Jesus calls us in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. The Bible shows us the story of Jesus going from village to village and finding people that were scattered abroad without a shepherd. And at the end, he tells the disciples, pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into the field. In this big rally, and I'm closing down, in this big rally at Kiambu, we had 4,000 sitting in the tent and 1,000 outside the tent. And we shared with them the gospel. Hundreds. I never forget the rally after that one. We were in a place called Makindu. And there were many schools that had come. And as I met the altar call, there was not enough room in the front there. And literally, young people stood and ran to the front, literally running to receive Jesus Christ. It's exciting. I'm 70 years of age. I tell people, you didn't think I'm that old. Yeah, I'm coming. I'm coming. But I tell young people, I can't speak your language. I can't behave like you young people. But I just want to pray with you to know Christ. I just want to pray with you, you know, to receive Christ. Because your life is all in front of you. And I see this church, you have very many young people. You have very many young people. Your life, young people, is right in front of you. You have a clean sheet, a clean chapter that has never been written. Why don't you write the kingdom of God there? Why did you write the message of Jesus Christ there? Why did you write things to do with faith? Build yourself. And finally, as I close, Jesus asked this. Don't turn there. Jesus asked this. Will Son of God find faith on earth when he comes back? Will the Son of God find faith when he comes back? I just want to ask us that. And maybe not in this church, but I was so disappointed when I came to Ohio the other day, up at Wayne County. I was told several Mennonite churches I preached many years ago have closed down. No people. At least three have closed down. No people to go in there. And I say, what happened? Are there no people living around there? A church closing down, no people. I said, that should never happen. That should never happen. But you know what? If we don't preach the gospel, we might as well close down. We might as well close down if we don't preach the gospel. And I just want to challenge us. I know you're doing it, and you can remember this. I'm so passionate about people who don't know Christ, because I believe that's why the church is here. We are the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5. Ye are the light of the world. Ye are the salt of the earth. We are the flavor. We are the light of the world. And so we must shine. We must shine. It is not so automatic. We have to be practical. We have to be practical, brothers and sisters, in sharing the message of Jesus Christ. And so this morning, where are you? Are you sharing? Are you letting other people do on your behalf? Like I know many of you. You say, well, the pastor, we pay the pastor to preach. Well, let me tell you, the pastors are here to prepare you. You know, Ephesians, they are supposed to prepare us for works of the ministry. You are the people to do the works of the ministry. The ministers are, their work is to prepare us to do the work of the ministry. Are we doing the work of the ministry? That's my challenge to us this morning. Where are you? With all this, have you been verbalizing Jesus Christ during your time? You know, the time is coming. For example, in Kenya, I'm telling them, these schools that are open, just the other day we got a Muslim, a Muslim cabinet minister of education. And I see the doors closing, that very soon we shall not have an opportunity to go to the schools. You had that chance one time here in America. You had the chance to do that in schools. Did you use that? Now all of a sudden, now you have to have your own schools to preach the gospel. But in the public school, you are not allowed in America. That is coming all everywhere. It's coming, you know, the wickedness and the people of the world are really closing down on us. We better verbalize Jesus Christ. Let me pray as I close. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for these brothers and sisters. And what